Before we come to the message this morning, I want to simply mention that we enjoyed this morning the lighting of the Advent Candle of Love by Kevin, Laura, Shannon, and Liam O'Leary. I mention that because Kevin's sister, Kathleen O'Leary, was married yesterday. Paul Means conducted the ceremony, an outdoor ceremony in Tarpon Springs, and Kathleen was married to Andrew Gorodeski. And so we wish them and the entire O'Leary family a Merry Christmas and best wishes in this season. We continue this morning in the Advent sermon series, The World Is Not Yet Finished. That phrase comes from a book entitled The Theology of Hope by Jürgen Moltmann. He was a well-known theologian in the last century. He and his family, several world wars and the dropping of the atomic bomb, and out of that coined this phrase, the world is not yet finished, in that book, The Theology of Hope. And the world is not yet finished because God's people today are called to turn towards love. And this morning for the message, there are two readings. The first is from Romans chapter 16, just a few verses there, beginning at verse 25, and then I'll be turning to the second chapter of Luke and reading about the shepherds and the angels. But first, from Romans chapter 16, Paul is concluding his letter here to the Romans, and he writes what is called a doxology in this letter. The word doxology has at its root the word doxa, which means glory in the Greek of the Bible. And so this is Paul's giving glory to God at the conclusion. Now to God, he writes, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And then in Luke chapter 2, this is a change from the bulletin. I'm reading in chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on peace among those whom he favors." And you can see this reading also of the shepherds and the angels ends with the angels singing a doxology, a glory to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Like many of you, I find that the music and the lyrics of the hymns, the carols that we sing at this time of the year, they have such beauty about them as they celebrate the birth of Christ, the coming of Jesus among the world. Many of them, in fact, simply retell the stories that we read during this season from the Bible. And so they have an extra benefit, a value for us, in that they contain the Word of God for us. And the danger of this season, I believe, when we are only worshiping through live streaming and not in person, is that we are not looking closely during this season at our hymn books, our cherished hymn books, that have the lyrics that the author chose, indeed I would argue was inspired to write. Often we know the first stanza, the first verse of a carol, but after that, oftentimes we begin simply to hum or whistle the tune. We may not know the second, third, fourth, or fifth stanza, and so we hum. But when we do that to these cherished, familiar tunes, I believe that we are in danger of missing the message that the carol has for us. And the carol that I want us to consider this morning is a unique carol. It is one of the most unusual carols of them all. But before we begin this morning, let us pray. O Lord, in our heart, our God, prepare our hearts and minds for the coming of your Son. Indeed, this morning, rivet our attention on these scriptures and the words in this carol so that every person here may hear a fresh new word at Christmas. And to this end, we pray with anticipation of hearing your word for us that is tailor-made for each one of us living in these difficult times. And this we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ, our heavenly King. Amen. This morning I want us to think together about this most unusual of carols. It came upon a midnight clear. We will sing this carol at the conclusion of the service today, following the sermon. We will sing three stanzas of it. There are more stanzas than three, but we will sing only three this morning. And I encourage you, if you have an iPad or a phone nearby as you are watching this service, to pull up that particular carol and look with me this morning at the language that the author chose in its writing. It is a most unusual carol. It was written by the Reverend Edmund Sears in 1849. Now, Sears was a Unitarian minister, which helps to explain why we don't see the name Jesus or Christ in this particular carol. It is furthermore unusual in that there is also, of course, if there's no mention of Jesus, there's no mention of his birth, there's no mention of his mission. There's no mention of his manger in this carol, nor the shepherds, or the magi, etc., etc. The entire focus in this carol is on the message that the angels brought on that clear midnight so long ago. The carol, you see, it came upon a midnight clear, is precisely a song about a song that the angels sang on that midnight so long ago. It is also a song that tells us much about the context, the time in which the author wrote it, which moved the Reverend Sears to write the words, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men," in the original language. From heaven's all-gracious King. Now, in the modern renderings of this hymn, it says, "Peace on earth, goodwill to all." It is inclusive in the modern version. And though it would be another decade before the Civil War tore apart our nation at its writing, the debate over slavery was raging at the time that Sears authored this carol. During the same time, the recently concluded Mexican-American War was still on the hearts of those who dissented from the North. And there was much more going on that I will get onto and tell about in just a moment. Notice the third stanza. The third stanza of this carol goes like this. "Yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel's strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And we at war hear not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise and cease the strife and hear the angels sing." You see, instead of focusing on the details of the nativity, this carol draws our attention instead to that singular message that the angels bring during that time. And while the first verse lays out the scene that angels are bending near the earth, please note importantly that each of the following verses tells that the angels' heavenly music still floats over all the earth. You see, this carol we begin to understand when we look at it closely and the context that it was written, that it is not so much a carol about the little baby Jesus as it is about the anticipation of promised peace and the difference peace would make in this world if we would just listen to the angel's song and incorporate it in our very being. Reverend Sears was clearly concerned about the world as it unfolded around him. During his time, the Industrial Revolution was dawning. It was pulling people from their small homes and into the cities. And oftentimes what they were simply doing was trading one form of poverty for another as they worked long hours in those factories, even the children. Wars were being brutally waged. Economic depression was taking place. Slavery was in full swing, and the Cherokee Trail of Tears, as it became known, told of the plight of the American Indians, especially as the gold rush was taking place in the West, and many times the treaties again and again were changed by our country to have the Indians move off places where gold abounded. Sears struggled to write that Christmas Eve sermon that year. He must have wondered how he could write about the light of Christ when the world seemed so terribly dark. But there was something about to whom the angels announced the birth that inspired him as he was writing his message that turned into a song. He realized that those angels announced the birth initially to the lowly, marginalized shepherds who were literally living in the fields to watch their flocks. They were looked down upon by the priest and the Jewish people many times. And in my mind, the angels come again this year and every year to sing not only over us, but to sing among those who are most marginalized, those who are treated unjustly. Deeply committed to social issues, Sears looked at the lives of the suffering in his community, and he understood the importance of that angel's song, the angel's message of hope, the message of love, the importance of purpose, the importance of trusting that things will get better for those marginalized, for those who have obstacles in their life, even now. You see, when we sing the blessed angels bending on hovering wings to soothe the babble sounds, the confusing sounds of a suffering world, beneath life's crushing load, we can almost envision what was taking place in that Industrial Revolution, as I mentioned, with the factory workers and the slaves, body bent, bearing loads of burden, and the hatred that was born from politics that caused a national war. This Christmas carol we see now is supposed to bring hope to those who suffer in daily strife. Hope that above all and through it all, the angels will continue to sing this song of love. But the question is, as the angels sing in 2020, will we hear this peace on earth and goodwill to all, and will we begin to share it with others? Do we hear that message? There are many things just now that get in the way of that message. In the day Reverend Sears wrote this song, it was the Civil War, social unrest, and much injustice. Think this morning, what gets in the way in your life and mine just now that causes an obstacle to stand in the way of our hearing the song of these angels? That's worth thinking about. That's worth praying about. And finally, it could be said that many of our Christmas carols, when we sing them, they bring about warm feelings and they bring about nostalgic memories of past Christmases. And I would have to say to you, there is nothing wrong about that. But if Reverend Sears, if he were in his grave, and that is all we thought about this carol, then he would be rolling in it, if that's all it amounted to for us today. His words, you see, were not intended to create only warm feelings in our heart. They were intended, you see, to light a fire underneath us, to stir us, to open ourselves to a new way of living in the world. And so from now on, when we sing the carol, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," and when you take time to Google and study the lyrics, its words more carefully, may the power this year of the incarnation touch you even more deeply than ever before. May it be so this Christmas, as we turn toward the love that God calls us to bear, not the burden, but the love. As we bustle about the house and the stores this week, may we slow down just a little and hush the noise and cease the strife as this carol asks us to do. May we apply the message of the angel and set aside warring hatred that divides and pits us against one another. And may your hearts be inspired by this most unusual carol in this most unusual time in which we live, as we now sing this carol of good news together. Amen.